You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. There is overwhelming evidence that the NYPD's stop and frisk practice has led to thousands of illegal stops. That assessment came from federal judge Shira Shinlin as she granted class action status to a lawsuit accusing police of discriminating against blacks and Latinos with its stop and frisk policies. WNYC's Bob Henley and Elsa Chang have been covering the story, and they both join me now. Hi, Bob and Elsa.
Hi there. Hi.
First, Elsa, tell me about the lawsuit and what the judge said about its allegations.
Yeah, this was a suit that was filed in 2008, and it basically accused the police department of deliberately engaging in a citywide practice of targeting blacks and Latinos when it stops and frisks people. When Judge Shira Shinlin certified the class action today, she said unlawful stops and frisks appear to be a citywide problem. That's the phrase. There's overwhelming evidence of thousands of unlawful stops. And this is really the first time any federal judge has weighed in substantively on the merits of allegations that the NYPD is conducting unlawful stops and frisks. So that sentence alone speaks volumes. The judge also noted that most New Yorkers who are unlawfully stopped will never file a lawsuit, and class actions were created precisely to address these kinds of cases. She went further in her opinion today, and this is probably the most interesting line in the entire decision. She said the city's attitude in this case has been, quote, deeply troubling, because the city's been arguing there's no way you could guarantee suspicionless stops will never occur. She says that argument reflects the city's, quote, cavalier attitude and a, quote, deeply troubling apathy towards New Yorkers' most fundamental constitutional rights. Cavalier was basically the word of the day, and at a press conference today, Mayor Bloomberg quickly dismissed allegations that citywide unlawful stops were a big problem.
If it wasn't for you reporting on a handful of people who are very vocal, I don't get that sense. And when you do polling, my understanding is the polls show overwhelming support by the public.
Just to back up, the judge wrote in her decision that these stops were unlawful. What did she mean by that? It sounds like she's already weighing in on the case.
Well, just to make very clear, this is going to be a jury trial if it does go to jury. So Judge Shinlin is, you know, and everything that she said today is not going to be binding the fact finder, the jury in this case. But she basically had to, in order to decide whether to certify this class action, decide if there was a centralized policy coming from the department from the top down that was resulting in discriminatory practices. This is all in light of a recent Supreme Court case, the Walmart case. This is the gender discrimination case where women were alleging that they weren't getting promotions and weren't getting paid at the levels that men were. And the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, decided in that case that they could not, that the class certification was not appropriate because these women could not prove that Walmart had a centralized policy of discrimination. So post-Walmart case, judges now feel more forced to wade into the merits of a case before they can decide whether to certify that class. And that's why Judge Shinlin in this particular case said there seems to be overwhelming evidence that this centralized stop and frisk practice or policy is resulting in unlawful stops.
How significant is it that Judge Shinlin has given this case class action status?
It's very significant. I mean, basically what happened today is this went from a lawsuit by four men alleging they were unlawfully stopped to a lawsuit about the NYPD's entire stop and frisk program. That program is now before the court, and the city and police department are now forced to defend the entire policy. So in order to certify a class, the plaintiffs had to show that what happened to them is typical of an entire class. And here the class is defined as everyone, every single person who's been stopped and frisked since January 2005 without reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, including people who were stopped and frisked just because they were black or Latino. So now that there's a class certification, it means that whatever remedy is imposed will be imposed citywide, whereas if you sued only on behalf of four plaintiffs, that remedy could only be limited to whatever precincts were involved in those particular individualized allegations.
And when we talk about the numbers of potential people covered by this class action, we are talking about hundreds of thousands of
what were 2.8 million.
2.8 million. Elsa, the number of stop and frisks has increased significantly in the past few years. Why is the NYPD conducting so many stops? And did the judge comment on these stats?
They sure did. Well, Mayor Bloomberg and the department has continually defended the practice as a way to reduce violent crime. But it has been an extremely controversial practice. There are now three federal class actions pending against the city and the department for stop and frisk. Calls are mounting for the U.S. Department of Justice and the New York State Attorney General to investigate possible civil rights violations with these stop and frisk. And now potential mayoral candidates are increasingly chiming in with their criticisms of the tactic. Here in this case, Judge Shindlin took a close look at statistical evidence that's been produced over 2.5 years of discovery. And she focused on what she felt was a pattern of racial disparities cropping up in precincts. Even high crime and low crime precincts, either way, police seem to be stopping blacks and Latinos disproportionately. She also paid a lot of attention to the issue of quotas. She found evidence and cited it in her 60-page opinion that throughout the top levels of the department, we're talking Chief of the Department Joe Esposito and then Chief of Patrol, were actually quoted in documents ordering commanders to show higher numbers. And precinct commanders were also cited in these documents as pushing their officers to come out with more numbers, more arrests, more summonses, more stops. And she also noted that in a lot of the documents and a lot of the forms that officers have to fill out every time they stop and frisk somebody, the justification of furtive movements seem to be checked off disproportionately often, as well as the justification of a high crime area. Even in precincts that are known to be low crime areas, stop and frisk forms that are filled out in those precincts justify stops conducted in those precincts as done because it was a high crime area. So all of this evidence amassed basically convinced Judge Shindlin that there was a centralized policy of stop and frisk that was leading to unlawful stops.
We turn now to WNYC's Bob Henley. Bob, this isn't the first time the Center for Constitutional Rights, which represents these four initial plaintiffs, has gone to court on stop and frisk. Can you tell me about the earlier cases?
Sure. Back when Amadou Diallo was shot, mortally wounded, by something called the Streets Crime Unit. It was made up of 300 police officers, like an elite commando unit that patrolled the streets at night. And back in February of 1999, with the shooting, as a consequence, they brought this lawsuit on behalf of the plaintiff named Daniels, a gentleman like these other four individuals today, who was, you know, stopped and frisked. And what came out of it was they had data that showed that, and the police department released in 1997 and 1998, 35,000 of the 45,000 stop and frisk reported by the Street Crimes Unit, much smaller numbers then, did not result in an arrest. And so they managed to get certified as a class once again, and then it was resolved in 2003, but not with a consent decree, but an agreement by the city basically saying, listen, we're going to reform, we're going to make it work, and we're going to get away from racial profiling. And this is what Darius Charney described happened from the Center for Constitutional Rights.
You know, there was the case that we brought about 10 years ago, the Daniels case, and there was a settlement, and they said, we're going to do anti-racial profiling policy, and we're going to train, and we're going to do audits, and it's going to be great, and then they actually didn't do half of that stuff.
And so what ended up happening is we see the numbers actually grew dramatically, so we're talking about 600,000, 700,000, and roughly, I think, only 4% of those stops result in an arrest, and 4% result in some kind of summons. So the one thing the police department does say is it resulted in the confiscation of 700 guns, but the problem still seems to exist in terms of the inordinate growth of the number of people that are stopped without producing any arrest or violation.
Stop and frisk is becoming a political issue in next year's run for mayor. What are the implications of Judge Shindlin's decision for those presumptive candidates?
Well, I think that the language was so strong, as Elsa so ably recounted, that it's going to up the rhetoric considerably. As it is now, Speaker Quinn has been trying to split the difference. She's pro-law enforcement, pro-police department, and also she's tried to give voice to the concerns from communities of color that feel that this is, at least elected representatives feel that this is really become a trust buster in the community. 27 of the 51 members of the city council actually had friends of the court briefs that were part of this case, basically saying, listen, we're hearing from our community that this is actually breaking down the trust in the very communities that the department wants to serve and protect. And so, I think also in Washington, Attorney General Eric Holder has been asked to get involved. This is going to make it much harder for him to ignore it now that a federal judge has put pen to paper with this kind of very, I would say, explosive language.
WNYC's Bob Henley, WNYC's Elsa Chang, bringing us up to speed on a Judge Shira Shinlin's decision to broaden a case against Stop and Frisk and make it a class action case. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.